Lisa's going to share with us a little bit. Why don't you come up, Lisa? I put her on the schedule about 5-6 months ago, 4 months ago, because, oh, that was weird. I thought that was a heart floating in water. I thought, because she's a medical person, I thought, oh my gosh, she brought a specimen. Another object lesson. It looked like a heart. And I put her on the schedule because Lisa has a lot to say. And there's a lot that God wants to say through her. And she's had an interesting ride, and she may share some of that with you, but she's a gift to Evangel. She and Rick are a gift to this body. And you should enjoy gifts, right? You shouldn't hide them. You should enjoy them. And so I asked her to just share whatever's on her heart. And she and Rick have just been in Hawaii for a week. So there's no telling what's in her heart. But a lot of rest. And hopefully the Lord will be able to speak to her without any hindrance at all. I just pray for freedom for Lisa. I know that there's a lot of things that are on her heart, on her mind. There's a lot of things that she could say. But I just pray that what she does say, what does come out, are your words, Lord. Amen. That you have the freedom to speak through her to us. You have the freedom to encourage us through her and even challenge us through her. I just pray that the words would come easily with lots of grace. I know this brings you great joy. Holy Spirit, this brings you great joy to have Lisa here to be able to speak through her. So have your way. Amen.
So I'm just going to warn you. I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to talk about. Although there's about 10 pages of really ridiculous amount of notes. Jody told me this morning that she had a dream about me last night and that I had forgotten that I was teaching. And then it went into Mike Bickle, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, Bickle in his notes. And I thought, forget it, I'm throwing away the notes right now. I'm kind of one of those people who, you may not know this about me, but when I was little, I was very, very shy. I kind of hid behind every single person. And it's amazing what happens when the Holy Spirit gets hold of somebody's life. He makes them a bold person, and he transforms us. But honestly, my inner workings, you may not know this, but I'm somebody who actually, when you test, I think more like a man. I'm that person where they're like, is there any feminine in you? Because I think very linear, and I think in a way that, you know, I want line upon line, precept upon precept, and I want to know things very methodically. That's how I'm wired. And I'm a director of clinical operations for a company in 4 different states. We have 13 locations. I have locations in 6 locations in California. I have 4 locations in Washington. I have 2 locations in Oregon. And I have 1 location in Idaho that I'm responsible for. And I'm responsible for every single medical person, and I supervise all of the doctors and all of the nurses and all the medical staff and write all of the policies and procedures and protocols that they have to follow and make sure that we follow OSHA and do all of those things. So I'm very much that kind of a person. Plus, I have to make sure that we stay in compliance with everything that Medicare says, or we will be handed our rears. And so I am that kind of a thinker. So the story you're about to hear kind of goes against my grain of how I think. And people who have walked with me in the spirit know that there's this place in God where he can take us and he can wreck how we are. He can wreck the design that we're most comfortable with, because I'm most comfortable with line upon line, precept upon precept. And one of the first things that I heard Holy Spirit say to me today when I walked into the room was to honor Jeff and Jody. She's not in here, but I heard him say very clearly, honor Jeff and Jody. And I do. I came here as many of you may know, as somebody who was born and raised in the Salvation Army. And in the Salvation Army, we read a lot of the Bible. That's what we do. We read a lot of the Bible. And we give prizes to you when you quote scripture. And we give prizes to you when you can quote more scripture than everybody else. We give you bicycles, which I won. And we give you badges. And we do all sorts of things to help you progress and really know that the Word is the most important thing in your life. And so when I met a coworker, some of you don't know this story, so I'm going to just briefly go through it. I met a coworker, and she was telling me things that were happening in the body of Evangel. And I told her that I thought that any pastor who would allow those things to happen had to be a pastor of a cult. That would be him. And so I made a deal with her. And the deal was that I would come to the church service 3 times. And if I still believed that it was a cult, that she would leave the cult and she would come to my church. And she would start to learn really what it's all about. And so that was my deal with my friend. And so I showed up to the body of Evangel because the Lord was moving in a really weird way that my mind didn't know how to comprehend at that time. And, you know, there are times where I've walked through this body and I was the biggest weirdo. And yet I was so against the weirdos. And so it was really hard for me. I struggled a lot. And when I came into this body, I remember we were actually over at the Gap, which is Father's house now. And we were there. And I walked in and there were people talking and there were people falling down on the ground. And I'm like, this is so stupid. And there were people who were shaking like train wrecks. And I thought, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Who are these people? And I watched some guy get slain in the spirit, which was something I had never seen before. And literally, it looked like rodents were underneath his shirt as he was laying there. And so it scared the holy bejeebies out of me because I saw rodents under this person's shirt. And I watched somebody cast demons out of this guy, and I watched the rodents stop. And I was like, oh, this is a cult. This is crazy. And told my friend I wasn't going back. She said, you promised. And so I was like, okay, I don't break my promises. So I went back again. Took me several days to do so. And I went back, and there was this person, and some of you know her, Diane Kangas, and she was sitting on a chair, and she all of a sudden started to make the chair hop. And they were praying, and she was making the chair hop, and she shook it so much that the whole darn thing collapsed onto the floor. And I was like, oh my God, I hate this place. I want out so bad. These people are awful. And I was scared to death of her, absolutely terrified of Diane Kangas. Thought, you are the most scariest person I've ever seen in my life, and I was raised in a very abusive home where people got their faces beat in and a knife held to their throat and a gun, and my brother was thrown through a plate glass window, and my mom had multiple times where she was abused. And so I knew scary, but to me, that was more scary. And so I didn't know what to do with it, and I just thought, suck it up, Lisa, suck it up. Go one more time, tell Nikki, which was my friend, that we're done, and walk out. And on the third night, this is the place of honor. On the third night, Jody got up. And I was sitting off to the side, and Jody, it's gonna make me cry. Jody got up, and she has such a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit. And she got up, and she just said, there's somebody in the room who really doesn't know what to do with everything right now. There's somebody here who you've known the Word, and you've known him that way, but you haven't known him close like a friend. And then she got even weirder. And she said, in fact, you can feel a burning right here on your chest right now. And at that time, my chest was burning like crazy. And she said, you can feel the burning on your chest right now, and it's the warmth of Holy Spirit. And he's just wanting to talk to you and let you know that it's okay. And I got really scared. And I thought, how does she know this? And she started to talk more about the love that Holy Spirit had for me. And she said, if you want to know him that way, then I'm going to go to the back. And you can just come back to me. And I'm going to help you through this. And instead, she walks over to me and she goes, oh, honey, let me just pray for you. And she went straight to me. And I was like, this is the creepiest thing in the world. And the most incredible thing all in the world. And so I just want to honor Jody and Jeff for opening me up, taking the lid off, and introducing me to my best friend. And I love them so much. We've went through some really weird stuff together and some really awkward times. But if there's one thing that I know is that these are people who will walk with you through a journey no matter what. No matter how weird, no matter how ugly, no matter how desperate the journey, they'll walk with you all the way through to the end. And these are good people, and I just honor them, and I love them deeply. I entered Evangel when my son was just about a year old, and he was born in 91. And that's when this really ridiculous ride started. And Evangel has a storyline. And Evangel's storyline is one of being called a tribe of Issachar. And I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what it meant to start to walk in their storyline and to join myself to Evangel's storyline. All I knew at the time was that I had been raised very oddly. My parents were elders in the Salvation Army while my dad beat the snot out of my mom. And so I had an attitude. I had an attitude because, you know, what people said in the home and what they said in public and church were very different things. And we all had to look a certain way. We all had to behave a certain way. We all had to be the good children who didn't do anything wrong and sat there nice and quiet in church. And so it was very hard for me, and I became a rebellious child. From that scenario, not blaming it on the scenario, that was all my heart. But in that process of being raised in that situation where you won bicycles for Bible scriptures and knowing that, but not having the fruit, the power of Holy Spirit to transform. You know, there's a scripture that says having a form of godliness but denying the power. And that's where the problem came in my life, was that I was raised in having a form of godliness but denying the power to transform a life. And so church was very boring to me. I didn't enjoy going to church in a lot of ways. I just didn't enjoy it. It was a hard place for me. And it was weird because when I was a child, I do have memories of certain things where I actually saw in the spirit, I just didn't know what it was. I was always told it was a daydream. And so I always believed, in fact, I was told all the time, Lisa, you need to stop daydreaming all the time. The things that you say really don't happen. It can't be that way. And I would see things, but I didn't understand what I was seeing at that time. So when I was praying about what to share here, I am very Mike Bickle-like in the fact that I like notes and I like scripture. So I have a ton of scriptures in here about personalizing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. But through the process of last night, I had a dream. And in the dream, I dreamt about blood over and over and over and over and over again. I dreamt about human blood, and I dreamt about blood sacrifice being put as the Lamb of God over doorposts. And I dreamt about his blood and the power of his blood to transform. And so last night before I went to bed, well, first of all, when I was in Hawaii, it took several days before I felt like the Lord gave me some direction. And so when I woke up that morning, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to stay in. I just need to sit here and just read. And so I went through and just started reading Ezekiel. And I thought, that's a really weird spot when I'm supposed to be talking about Holy Spirit. And first thing I heard was Ezekiel 37. And with hearing that, I just went through and did what I do. I didn't use this Bible. I used one of my favorites. And I just went through, and my Bible's actually, this is Rick's. It has no highlighted anything. It's just plain pages. This is Rick's Bible. This is not my Bible. Mine looks like a coloring Bible. Everywhere you open it, there's like, in fact, every Bible that you open that's mine looks like a child got in there and wrote everything in the margins and did crazy stuff. Anyways, so Ezekiel 37, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." When I came to Evangel and joined their storyline, that was me. It was those dry bones. And as I started to walk with this body, I started to have breath start to come back into me. And one of the things that happened during that time, as breath was starting to come back into me and skin was starting to be formed on me again, and I started to rattle around and make an interesting sound, life started to come back. And one of the things that I felt like the Lord said is that there's people who have felt so desperate for more, more of being like that open vessel, more where they don't feel capped off and shut off anymore. Renee Greeley's in this room with me right now, with us. And there was a time when Renee Greeley and I were so desperate that we literally went from the back door and we belly crawled all the way to the front, crying out, "We're desperate for you, God! Jesus, we're desperate for you! We're desperate for you! We have to have more of you!" And we just belly crawled all the way through this place, crying out that we would be a desperate body who was desperate for his presence and wanted to know the scriptures in such a way that every word started to be transforming in our lives, and that every word changed who we were. And so part of the storyline of this body is that it's a group of people who want to know and understand the seasons and the times and be able to release that in the earth, not only for this region, but to go out from here to the nations. That's part of the destiny on this body. And there are people in this body who have cried out and labored. And no matter where you joined in the storyline of this body, what you're getting when you join into just what the Lord has for you is he has a passionate, amazing relationship with Holy Spirit that he wants to have come alive on the inside of you. That's what you're getting. And so when the Lord took me through Ezekiel 37, he started to show me places where he literally prophesied into me, because he had to speak into the dry bones. And so one of the things that I felt like was really important, because you each have your own story. You each have your own story how you ended up here. You each have your story of where you'll go and how that'll look. Some people would call it your scroll. Some people would call it your book, the book of life. Some people would say that it's just a place in the moment in time. But you each have your own story. And so I want you to put yourself into your storyline for a minute. And I want you to think about your past and what brought you here. Did you come here because you were desperate? Did you come here because you just had an unction? Did you come here because you accidentally walked in the door and got sucked in? Just think about what brought you here for a moment. And then thank Holy Spirit for the fact that he's really the one who directed your steps. Because that's really important. One of the things that was a part of learning how to walk in the Spirit and how to embrace an understanding was I couldn't understand how Jody was able to have a conversation with Holy Spirit and truly know that out of all of the people, and there were a lot of people there, out of all of the people, she knew how to walk directly to me and go straight to the person who had that warmth burning on their chest. And I didn't understand that, and that puzzled me a lot. And so I started asking a lot of questions to the Lord in my time with him. And I started asking him, how did she do that? What was that? And he started to show me, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And he started to take me to scripture, and I'd start to read that. He'd tell me the phrase, I'd hear it, and then he'd tell me where it was in the Bible, and I'd go there. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, I just heard that, and then you just said it's something, and I went there, and it's really on the page. I was like, this is crazy. This is weird. I don't know what to do with this. And so in that process, I started to ask to have an increase, and I started to say, I need you. I need you so much more in my life. I need you to be my friend. I want to be your friend. I know that you want to be my friend, but this is the first time I really feel like I've wanted to be your friend. And you know, it says, many are called, few are chosen. And the thing that makes us chosen is that they choose friendship. They choose friendship with the one who lives inside them. It's like Lisa said with that vessel, that jar. You know, you can get the get out of hell free card and go forth, and you're still going to get out of hell free, right? You chose him. But there's another step. There's another place where you go into relationship in such a deep way that you have conversations with the one who lives inside you, and he becomes your best friend, and you choose friendship over the things that you know with your head. And let me tell you, for somebody who thinks like I think, that's a lot to overcome. That's a serious lot to overcome when you think in the way that my mind is designed. So one of the things that happened is the Lord had to kind of take over. And so in his taking over, he literally took over my body. And there were things that I was just astounded by, because I had always been instructed that the Holy Spirit was a gentleman. And so I actually went through the Bible and I did a Google search, and nowhere in it, the Bible, does it say the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. That's not true. It's one of those things that people teach you, but it's not true. Is he kind? Is he gentle? Yes. Is he also The one who says he wants you to be gentle as a dove, but he wants you to be as wise as a serpent? Is he also the one who took Jesus into the temple and fashioned a whip and started waha at the Pharisees? You know, he's that one. And so I had to start to meet a different side of the Lord than what I had known. And that was very mind-boggling to me because I felt like in ways I was being violated, and I didn't know what to do with the fact that it felt like a violation to have somebody else move me in a way that I wasn't ready to move for. And yet the peace that came every time Holy Spirit and I had an encounter would outweigh everything else, to the point of where I fell so in love that I became abandoned. And I was just like, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. I have never been more elated in life in my whole life, and more loved and more understood and more cared for and more disciplined and more chastened. And I loved all of it. I didn't care how it came. I just was like, oh my gosh, I love this. I love that you discipline your children. I love this. And it was this weird, incredibly weird dynamic. And so in Ezekiel 37, the first thing that it says is the Lord took hold of me. Some versions say that the Lord plucked me up by my hair. Now, that's the Bible. The Lord plucked you up by your hair. And he took you and he let you see a vision of a valley of dry bones. And so I was somebody who had always read the word, but as I read the word, I just didn't stop and think, oh my gosh, this person was physically plucked up by their hair and taken to a valley, and the valley was opened up to them. And they saw this, and then they were told to prophesy to it, you know. And then I started reading the scriptures, and things would happen to me, and I would go, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This can't be you, God. You wouldn't do stuff like that. And then he'd take me to a scripture where, you know, he made somebody lie naked on their side and told them to prophesy over human dung. And I would go, what? What? You are weird. And so the phrase that used to come out of my mouth all of the time through this process was, we serve a weird God. He is so weird. He is mind-blowing. Because that scripture, he made them naked. There was a time when he said, I'm going to actually tie you up with a belt, and this is going to be that you're going to be in captivity, and this is what's going to happen to you. He actually says that. And then he makes the prophet tie himself up with a belt. And he actually has that happen to this guy. And I'm like, okay, so maybe some of the stuff that happens to me isn't so weird. You've never made me be naked. I like this. So one of the things that happens when the Lord starts to awaken your dry bones is he starts to make you see the word in a whole new dynamic. You know, he's not a boring God. And if any of us are struggling with the fact that our Creator is boring, or that our life is humdrum and we're just going through the mundane, I would challenge you to go deeper. I would challenge you to have a conversation with the one who lives inside you, because he is anything but boring. He's no tame lion, and he's an incredible gentle lamb, and he's always both. He's never one or the other. He's always the lion, and he's always the lamb. And if you've asked him into your life, he dwells inside you. And so there's no tame lion that lives inside you. That's really hard if you think the way that I think normally. And so one of the things that Holy Spirit was showing me and told me to just talk about personal journey. And so this personal journey may mess with some of you, but I swear to you, I prayed for a couple of weeks that the only people who are supposed to be in this room could be here. And I prayed that everybody else who's not, Lord, don't care what you do, don't let them show up. And I prayed that. And so if you are in this room, you are marked to be in this room, Tammy. I love that. I love that you're here. You make me happy. And my Bible, I don't know how many of you have had supernatural things happen. Some things probably have happened supernaturally and you've just called it whatever, the wind in the room or whatever. But I was actually open to Isaiah last night and said, okay, Lord, I want you to show me what you want me to teach on. And I got up, went to the bathroom, and came back and sat on my bed, and it was opened up to Ezekiel 1. And twice, when I prayed that, my Bible opened up to Ezekiel 1. And Ezekiel 1 is a really powerful scripture. I had Ezekiel 1 come into my bedroom once upon a time. And it was at a spot where, this is, oh my gosh, like 25 years ago. So it was hard because people didn't talk about things as openly as I'm talking to you about them right now. The church wasn't quite there. And people would say and prophesy, you're a forerunner. And I would think, I don't even know what that means. But I didn't understand that I was having experiences that people didn't really talk about then. And there were a few people that were odd people that the Lord hooked me up with from this body that helped me through this time when it was really hard. Because you're trying to figure out whether or not you're losing your mind or whether or not this is real or if you really do need a straitjacket or what's going on. And I was married to my first husband at the time who was fine with me being a girl who went to the Salvation Army, but hated with passion that I became a person who came to the body of Evangel. Because unfortunately, he blamed my coming alive and awakening on Evangel when it wasn't Evangel's fault. It was Holy Spirit's fault. It had nothing to do with the fact that anything other than people were loving here and they were encouraging Holy Spirit's relationship with each and every one of us. And so it really wasn't, I mean, Evangel took a bad rap in a lot of ways because people identified the body as something crazy when really it was the Holy Spirit just being encouraged in everybody's lives. And so in the midst of this, this is Ezekiel 1. On July 31st of my 13th year, while I was with the Judean exiles beside the Kabar River in Babylon, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. This happened during the fifth year of King Jeroboam's captivity. The Lord gave this message to Ezekiel, son of Buzi, a priest beside the Kabar River, in the land of the Babylonians, and he felt the hand of the Lord take hold of him. As I looked, I saw a great storm coming forth from the north, driving before it huge clouds that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. There was a fire inside the cloud, and in the middle of the fire glowed something like gleaming amber. From the center of the cloud came four living beings that stood. From the center of the cloud came four living beings that looked human, except that each had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, and their feet had hooves like those of calves and shone like burnished bronze. Under each of their four wings, I could see human hands. So each of the four beings had four faces and four wings. The wings of each living being touched the wings of the beings beside it. Each one moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. Each had a human face in the front and the face of a lion on the right side and the face of an ox on the left side and the face of an eagle on the back. each had two pairs of outstretched wings, one pair stretched out to touch the wings of the living beings on either side of it, and the other pair covered its body. They went in whatever direction the spirit chose, and they moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. The living beings looked like bright coals of fire or brilliant torches, and lightning seemed to flash back and forth amongst them. And the living beings darted to and fro like flashes of lightning. As I looked at these beings, I saw four wheels touching the ground beside them, one wheel belonging to each. The wheels sparkled as if of beryl. All four wheels looked alike and were made the same. Each wheel had a second wheel turning crosswise within it. The beings could move in any of the four directions they faced without turning as they moved. The rims of the four wheels were tall and frightening, and they were covered with eyes all around. When the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. When they flew upward, the wheels went up too. The spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. So wherever the spirit went, the wheels of the living beings also went. When the beings moved, the wheels moved. And when the beings stopped, the wheels stopped. When the beings flew upward, the wheels rose upward. For the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Have that visit you. I feel like this isn't a story about Lisa, so don't take it that way. This is a story about the one who lives inside you, who wants to make the Bible so real to you and wants to bring everything alive in such a way that you don't live a life of boredom and that you don't live a life of wonder of what he has for you. I listen to people all the time who say, I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know who I'm supposed to be. You're supposed to be a passionate lover of Jesus, period, end of story. That's what you're called to be. Everything else is just fake. It's just a part of the story in some areas. But really, you're just called to be a passionate lover of Jesus. And that's who you're called to be. And if you join in that storyline, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. That's what will happen in your life. And I know that this is mind-blowing. Trust me, I told you how I think. So I was at Morningstar because this wild group of people wanted to go to Morningstar from this body. And they were telling me, oh, you got to go there. You'll start to understand so much. And I was like, whatever. And they kept telling me, oh, you got to go there. You got to go there. You got to go there. Well, my mom had just been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I wasn't sure what to do about that. I had bought a ticket with this group of people who were going to travel to Morningstar. For those of you who don't know, it's a ministry in the Carolinas. And I was so conflicted because my mom had just told me that she was going to do her first chemo while I was gone. I was devastated. And I thought, okay, I know that I'm supposed to be able to anoint her with oil and pray for her, and she's supposed to be made well. And so I went and anointed her and prayed for her and struggled so deep inside, but I felt like I kept hearing Holy Spirit say, go, go, go. When I got there, I was a mess. And Lenny Redarath stepped in and was my mommy. She stepped in and she just was there when I was hurting so bad. She was there and she knew I was kind of crazy, knew that there was a new opening in my heart for Holy Spirit to start to show me things. She had a lot of wisdom, and she knew how to just love somebody who was a blubbering mess. And she wrapped her arms around me, and she just hugged me and loved me. And I can't even tell you how much Holy Spirit used her during that time. So much so that I got married at her house.
her and Tom opened up their house to Rick and I when we got married. I just love them so much. Incredible, real, genuine people who just love people in spite of their mess. And so I had some really weird things happen while I was at Morningstar. And I'm going to tell you some of this because I want you to understand the adventure that Holy Spirit can take you on. While I was at Morningstar, they had what they called a prophetic time. And this was my very first time ever going into a prophetic time, which it meant that you went into a group of like three or four people and you walked in and you didn't tell them anything about yourself except your name. And that's all you did. And then these people would pray for you. They'd prophesy over you. And for me, this was my very first experience having anything like that happen. And I walked in. And this is what they said. I almost brought all my journals. I literally opened up every journal that I still have and recorded. And it was so bad that it was overflowing. It was ridiculous. I was like, I can't bring them. Anyways, it says, so I read this. This is what they said to me. You're joined with a team of red horses. This means intercession, Zechariah 1. You have been introduced to true intercession and a release of real spirit of intercession and warfare. You are in a training process. This is the word of God. In your family, God is doing something. Remember, my mom had cancer. In your family, God is doing something. Stay close to God and he will take care of you. I see you changing clothes. You are diverse and unique. God is touching your brain. You are trying to figure out way too much in the natural. He's going to bypass it. My brain is so bad that the Lord had to do the bypass surgery on me. He is going to bypass it. It will be in your heart. Don't try to figure it all out in the natural. Let the heart embrace what God is doing. I see a nursing uniform. I'm a nurse. I see a nursing uniform. And it equals spiritual nurturing. Going to be an encounter and help nurse people spiritually. Let God do it and lead you into it. Pursue it with gusto. Don't limit yourself. Release of authority for a visitation in your area. Enjoy and embrace the process God is putting you through. You will have a visitation from the captain of hosts, Ezekiel 1. The captain, the guy with the fire in his eyes and the sword in his hand, the guy with his presence will come down to your group. A team of red horses will usher in the Ark of his covenant. This was 10/22/96. It had to do with who I connected myself with. The words that I looked over last night had very much to do with a group of people and connection. And often when I was prophesied over, it had to do with a group. They often didn't just speak of me. They spoke of the group I'm connected with. And so I want you to understand that sometimes you have personal words, but sometimes you have community words. And so where you're at in your community matters. You have to hear Holy Spirit and know where you're at. Because sometimes you're that cog that's missing to make the next piece move properly. And if you're not connected, then you're not going to help propel people forward. So don't believe the lie of the enemy that would say you being here doesn't matter. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that says that your part doesn't matter or who you were created to be doesn't matter. That's a lie. And it's to bring confusion so that you won't be all you were created to be. Because the bottom line is the Lord has a whole picture he wants us to see, and we all have a piece of the puzzle. Some of us may have the corner pieces. Some may have many pieces of the puzzle. But if you're that one piece that's missing, it's still a hole in the puzzle, and it's a hole in the picture that's missing. And the enemy wants you to believe that your piece doesn't matter. He tries very hard to convict people all of the time. And what he does is he tries to say, you don't matter. Oh, it's okay. That got given to somebody else. Who notices you anyways? He tries to tell you all of those things. But those things aren't true. He's talking to you. And you know it, right? Yeah, he's talking to you. Do you know how I know that? Because the same Holy Spirit that's in Jody that knew how to come to me is the same Holy Spirit that lives in me that told me to point you out. Right? That's how I know. Is because that Holy Spirit became my best friend. And so now I can do that. Because he's all-knowing. I'm not. But because he knows your heart, he knows there's an adventure that awaits for you. Then I was looking through my journals and I read, this was a word that was given to me, 1:18:97. You are an eagle with talons. Go all the way. Nothing held back. Fly over the church, over the dead body. Deliver them from the spirit of apathy. Pull them into new heights. Hold nothing back. If fine and refine are on a bridge and fine falls off, who's left? One of the things that happened during this time, some of you have experienced this story. I was in Grants Pass with a bunch of people. And there was this man named Bud White. And we called him Bud Light. Diane named him. And we were going for just a time of worship and just praising Jesus. And all of a sudden, prophecy broke out and he started praying for people. And this guy was having accurate words for all of my friends. I was still very tentative. I most of the time stood back when stuff like that happened. Very judgmental, very critical of every word that was ever spoken, gonna test the spirit. And so I really, really struggled. And honestly, I wasn't very nice sometimes. I really struggled with people who are like me. And so because of that, it was really hard. And I'm listening to them give words to my friends. And one of them is, you know, you're going to walk on water and you're going to see the Lord and he's going to open the heavens to you. And he's saying all of these wonderful things over my friends. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's who they are. And then I'm listening to him give more words over friends, and I'm listening to him talk to my one friend, Brenda, who has such a spirit of wisdom, and the Lord had even given me dreams where she was wisdom who came to me and started teaching me through her as wisdom. And he starts to say, so I had already known her as wisdom, and he starts to say, you just walk in such a spirit of wisdom. And I'm like, oh, he's nailing it. I'm going to go ahead and let him speak over me. And so I go up there, and this guy, such a quirky, weird guy, he actually had a fruit basket on his head. And I'm like, who are you? Why are you dancing with a fruit basket on your head? And he kept saying, we're all supposed to wear the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm like, you are a freak. And so it took me a while to decide that the freak could speak over me. And then he says, he looks at me and he says, you are an eagle with talons. Go all the way. Nothing held back. Fly over the church, over the dead body. Deliver them from a spirit of apathy, pulling them into new heights. Hold nothing back. And then he gets close to me like this. I think you have to get on your knees because I'm short. Right? So this guy does this. This is truly what happened. If fine and refine are on a bridge and fine falls off, who's left? If fine and refine are on a bridge and fine falls off, who left? If fine and refine are on a bridge and fine falls off, who's left? And he literally, I ended up falling backwards into Ruth Nelson's lap. You can go. Thank you. And he's shouting over me, if fine and refine are on a bridge and fine falls off, who's left? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't know. And he goes, will you sacrifice fine for refine? And I'm thinking, this is so weird. This is so weird. You are so weird, God. Brenda gets wisdom. Diane gets visions. and that she's going to walk with in the heavens. And I get some guy yelling at me, a fine and refiner on a bridge, and fine falls off, who's left? I'm like, this is so weird. And it was just the weirdest thing. And I got to tell you, in 96 is when that happened. And that word carried me through some of the most hardest times of my life. And, you know, I'm an intense person, in case you hadn't noticed. And sometimes the Lord has to speak to you in a language you understand. And I was raised in a house where people shout at each other. I was raised in a house where things were a little bit loud. And so the way he could get through to me was a language that I understood. It took a really long time, years, before Holy Spirit could get to me in tender ways, because I didn't understand that language yet. It took a while for him to embrace me in a way that I was open enough to let him talk to me tenderly. And so he had to talk to me in a way that I understood. So remember that in your own lives. He speaks to you in a way you understand. He's not trying to make this hard. He's trying to help you understand. And so don't overthink Holy Spirit. Don't overthink it. He's not trying to give you a mystery that you can't unravel. He is trying to get you to seek after his mysteries. But he's doing it kind of in plain sight, like Blue's Clues, right? If you know the cartoon, the clue is right here in plain sight. And that's kind of how Holy Spirit does it. He just kind of puts it in plain sight, but at the same time, he wants you to recognize there's a mystery to unravel about it. And so through that scripture about visitation and about prophesying over the dead church, over dry bones, when the Lord took me to Ezekiel 37, I didn't know I was going to pull out prophetic words from the past. And honestly, I had forgotten that part of it, because the only part I had remembered of the word was the guy screaming over me, make me fall back in Ruth's lap. And so I had not remembered the piece that said I was an eagle and that I had talons and I was to feed the church and wake her up out of her apathy. And so when I was in Maui this last week and the Holy Spirit took me to Ezekiel 37, and then again yesterday when he took me to Ezekiel 37, and then he took me to Ezekiel 1, both times also, I hadn't really realized yet that the Lord was saying, I want you to break apathy. Any place in people's lives where there's dullness. Any place in my life where there's dullness. I have walked in dullness for a really long time. There have been in times in my life when I spent days and hours, literally hours, spent. Sometimes the Lord had told me when my children were very little, and they will all tell you that they hate me for it. I did something not out of religion, but I did it out of what the Lord had said. And I didn't allow TV in my home. And so while people were watching TV and watching episodes and doing all of that stuff, my children were raised without a TV. We did have a TV, but I would put the VeggieTales videos in, and I would put the Life Without God's Love is Like a Donut, you know, there's a hole in the middle of your heart kind of things. And so they had to watch things like that. And so I was very much the person who raised my children in a setting where they didn't have TV. But what happened is the Lord told me, Holy Spirit said very clearly to me, Lisa, you can feed yourself with what the world feeds themselves, or you can feed yourself with me. And if you will eat of me, you will never believe what the news says to you. You will only believe what I say. And he told me that if I would do that, that it would change things. And so I have a history when people were watching whatever they watched on TV, I spent my time, and this isn't to just lift me up because I haven't been faithful in this in a really long time, but during those years, I spent hours, sometimes 6 hours, sometimes 8 hours, sometimes 12 hours, sometimes through the night watches, all just reading the Word and having Holy Spirit talk to me. But I didn't read the Word dry. What I ended up doing is I'd have him tell me something and then he'd tell me where to go. And he would show me something and I would say, I don't understand that. And then he would say, open up your Bible to this place. Or sometimes I would just open up my Bible and there would be what I just read. And I'm like, you blew my mind. Oh my gosh, you just taught me the Word. You know, and I would have that relationship with him. And so some of what I walk in right now, although I have to tell you, is about a tenth of what I used to walk in because I let myself get dull. It's a really bad thing to let yourself get dull. Ezekiel 1. I had an experience. I lived on the top of the Columbia Heights. And I kept hearing for days songs, rhythms, music, days and days and days. I could hear things, and I would go to people and go, do you hear that? Do you hear that? What radio was on? Do you hear that? And people would go, Lisa, there's nothing on. And I'm like, no, you hear that. You hear that drum beat, right? And they would go, Lisa, there's nothing on. And I'm like, no, who's got the radio on? Somebody's got the radio on, right? Somebody's got the radio on. And so you start to kind of think you're crazy because everybody's looking at you like you're crazy. And I'm going, no, but I hear that sound that sounds like Africa with some sort of a orchestra at the same time. How does Africa and orchestra sound? But that's what I kept hearing. It was like a blending of music and a blending of different cultures. And I kept hearing it and I kept hearing it and I kept hearing it. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? What is this? And anyways, so I'd gotten very used to hearing sounds that no one else was hearing. And I'm hearing this music and I'd prayed into it for, gosh, probably months. I had just prayed into it. What am I hearing? And the Lord would tell me that there was a culture that was going to blend. And he would tell me that there are sounds that are heaven. And he's waiting for us to have the sounds of heaven come to earth. And he would start to talk to me about the dance. And he would start to talk to me about the drums. And he would start to talk to me about different instruments and what they would do and how they could release his presence. And that people would start to have that sound start to come on the inside of them. And they would start to recognize his sound and come alive with the move of his sound. And they'd start to vibrate with that sound. And I was like, okay. And anybody that I talk to, they're just going to go, uh-huh. And sure. And so one night at the back door, my bedroom was an old garage that had been converted into a master suite. And it was right off of my kitchen, and off of my kitchen was a back entrance. And the back door opened and shut itself. And my husband was on graveyard. And it opened and shut itself, and I could hear it, and I thought, that somebody just came into my house, and so I started to get a little nervous, but all of a sudden, the music just intensified. It intensified in such a way that it was like, oh, this is something different. This is really something different, and I kept hearing the music just intensify, and it was starting to come, and I could feel like it was coming, and I could feel the atmosphere in the room start to change, and I had a spirit of fear for years and years and years, and the Lord had to deliver me. And so it was one of the very first times after I had been delivered from a spirit of fear, literally delivered, cast out demon, kind of delivered from fear because I was terrified of fear. And it came into my room, this sound, and it, as the sound started to come in and it started to increase in tempo, I kept hearing the phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And there was majesty, and it was very much, at that point, I could hear, I hadn't been to London yet, but it was like the changing of the guard. And I could hear it, and I didn't know that that's what I was experiencing at that time. Now I have words for it. But I could see that majesty coming in, and the light flooded my room, and it looked like a kaleidoscope was starting to move in my room, wheel upon wheel, wheel within the wheel, changing dimensions, lights reflecting, dancing and moving, and it kept saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I pulled my pillow over my eyes to hear, and I pulled my blankets up to hear so that all I could see was this much, because I was pretty sure I was going to be dead. And I'm not joking. I was trembling like a train wreck, and I literally slits. I mean, this much was open. I was freaked out. And all I could say every time I tried to open my mouth was, Jesus. And it took probably about 15 times before I could get the word Jesus out of my mouth. I just try, and have you ever had your mouth so dry that you can't make the words form? And that's what was happening. And it took for a while before I could have the words Jesus come out of my mouth. And last night, when my Bible opened back up to Ezekiel 1, right after that I had prayed, Lord, I was so afraid. I was so afraid that I didn't let you keep the encounter. That happened to me probably 25 years ago. And all I could think of is, oh my gosh, Lord, I've let so much dullness come in. Would you forgive me for pulling back from you? Would you forgive me for being afraid of what's actually in your word? For experiencing your word? Would you forgive me for pulling back? And will you restore to me the years that the moth and the cankerworm have eaten? Would you restore to me where I should have been if I hadn't pulled back? Would you restore to us the joy of our salvation? Would you restore to us our true destiny and who you've called us to be? One night I had a dream, and the dream was as. Literally, all night long, the whole word, A-S, as, all night long. Just saw the word as. And I was like, Lord, what was that? And he took me to the scripture. If you will believe in me, as the scripture says, out of your life will flow rivers, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Jeff said that earlier today. If you will believe in me, as the scripture says, not as you were taught, not as how you perceived what my word says, but if you will believe in me, as the scripture says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Do you believe the Holy Spirit picked somebody up by their hair and moved them to a valley of dry bones and let them see it? Do you believe that happened? Do you believe that Holy Spirit had no problem at all saying to Moses, prophesy, let my people go so they can worship me? Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. He came upon people in the Old Testament. He came upon them. When you look at all of these pages of scriptures, which I haven't covered, you will find that Holy Spirit came upon so many people in the Old Testament. And he never changed. He lives inside you. How much more should you know what Holy Spirit has for you now? And encounter him every single day. He's not a boring God. He's no tame lion. Holy Spirit says, First Corinthians 6:17. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You know, I always knew that, But I always kept thinking, it's my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, and my spirit. And then Holy Spirit who dwells in here. And recently, I started looking at that going, no. The Bible says, the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. It's no longer my spirit and his spirit. It's us. It's us. There's only one spirit that lives inside of me now. Because mine's commingled with him completely. So everything that's available through Holy Spirit, throughout the word, is available to you. And if you don't have it, then there's an answer for that. The answer is this: he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Are you dwelling or are you visiting the secret place of the Most High? For the last several years, I've been visiting the secret place of the Most High. I used to dwell there. I literally dwelled there. I dwelled there for a very long time. And I had ridiculous things that happened to me. I would dream a dream and I would tell somebody and the next day it would happen. I would have an experience and the next day it would be in the newspaper. I dwelled there once upon a time, a long time ago in my life. I personally believe the prophetic is much more than we've ever made it out to be. You know, the prophetic has to do with the nations. He speaks and prophesies over nations. He's called us to a governmental seat in this community, and he's called us to touch and influence nations and to change things that are happening in the face of the earth. When Bonnie Jones was here a year and a half ago, I was listening to her last night recap of what she said over this region because I thought it was worth it. I thought it was something that I needed to pay attention to. And one of the things that happened while Bonnie was here was, if you remember, Chris Overstreet had just come out with a prophetic word over Olympia, and the day before, Bonnie had been in Olympia. And she had been at the courthouse. And one of the things that she said was that the Lord had been, when Bob was here, the Lord had been raising up a Joshua generation. And now she was coming back to raise up the Samuel generation, the generation where one word from the Lord would not fall to the ground. And that she was here to help the hub start to speak the words that will not fall to the ground. Every word would be life. And that was part of what she was called to do. And in that, there was a sign to this body. There was a sign. Chris Overstreet was prophesying over what had just happened at the courthouse in Olympia the day before she had been there. Remember, she came with a black eye because she said a demon punched her in the eye in her sleep. Well, oddly enough, when Bob Jones was here, a demon bit his lip and his ring finger while he was at the Monticello Hotel and drew blood. I know that might be weird for some of you, but it happened. And so in that process, Chris said, the government of God is in Washington State. The government of God, the Lord is raising it up. He's going to change the state. And I see him starting to reverse abortion in the land because of what happened. And Bonnie stood here in front of us and said she was here because of that reason. Because the government was to be raised up from this place. And that the Lord was calling us to be a Samuel generation where the word of the Lord would not fall to the ground any longer. It's important to know where you are in God's timeline, but it's also important to know who you've joined yourself to. It's important to know why you joined the timeline when you did. And it's important to understand that. One of the things that Bob Jones had prophesied over us when he was here had to do with a mystical hub,
a hub that would be raised up. People who would be very different in how they would pursue the Lord. There would be a people who had been tested by fire. There would be a people who had to walk through some really hard stuff. And they would be a people who would learn about four bedposts. And the thing that would happen when they learned about those four bedposts, they would then be able to have the marriage bed, is what he called it, for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so when he spoke these things over this community in 2000, it was February 4th, 2000, one of the things that happened as he was speaking those things, one of the things that him and Bobby, when they came to this area, they were driving in a car, and at the time that they were talking, Bonnie had said that she had called Bobby Connors right before she got here and said, "Bobby, remind me, I know you've been to Longview before, and I know there was something about transformers exploding, and I know that there was something about fire on a roof, but tell me what happened and what it was." And he said, "I can tell you, it was Bob's birthday. It was February 4th, 2000. He was 70 years old." And he goes, "That's when it happened, was they were driving to town." And she said, "What were you guys talking about in the car?" And he said, "Well, we drove to the city." And he said, the question was, "What generation is this?" And as he said, "What generation is this?" Bob spoke, "The Joshua generation," and the transformers started to blow. The Joshua generation is the generation that got to go in and take the promised land, you guys. The Joshua generation is the one who actually got to give a report. They got to either say there's giants in the land, or they got to say this is a land flowing with milk and honey. That's the Joshua generation. And so twice, actually more than that, three times, this community, Cowlitz County, has been given an opportunity to join in with what the plans of the Lord are. And Cowlitz County is given an opportunity to join themselves and say, "Yep, there may be giants, but there's a land. This is a promised land. This land is flowing with milk and honey. This is the place where the true encounters of God take place. This is the place where he moves. And this is the place where freedom comes and people find what they were looking for." What are they finding? They're finding him, the one who created him. They're going to come to this community and find the one who created him and fall in love with him once and for all and live their lives totally different, no longer bound to the things of the world, but completely alive, alive, knowing that they can have that kind of a relationship. And so I know this is a bit all over the map, and I'm sorry for that. I really am the person who would have rather done the pages. But I believe with my whole heart, if you've had dullness in your spirit, that the Lord wants to break it off of you right now. So if you have dullness anywhere in your life, don't hesitate to stand up, because Holy Spirit is ready to just set you free from dullness. Completely. Completely free. Holy Spirit, you're my favorite person. I love you. I love that Jesus said, "I must go away." And that he said he needed to send one to live with us forever. I love that. I love that, Holy Spirit. I love you. I love you. I love that you reside in us. I love that you take residence. I love that we who dwell in the secret place of the Most High are the ones who will find rest.
Holy Spirit, I ask that in this place, wherever dullness is within us, that you would forgive us for agreeing with dullness. Lord, that you would forgive us for having a form of godliness but denying the power. Whoa. Lord, will you transform our minds and renew them? Wash us with the water of your word. Take us into new depths and new heights and new breadths of who you are. Lord, I ask that you would come right now and that you would break, dullness off of every single one of us. And that you would restore the joy of our salvation. The joy. It is such an honor and such a joy to do life with you in every season. It is such a joy whether we're walking through the hard stuff and the muck and the mire or whether we're walking on the beaches of Hawaii. It's a joy to do life with you and have you indwell within us. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what you have hidden, the mysteries that you have for those who love you. I ask right now that you would visit us with eye has not seen and ear has not heard. We say yes to you. We say yes. We say yes to you. We want to know the mysteries of your kingdom for such a time as this. We thank you, Lord, that you are raising up a Samuel generation where there will be not one word of the Lord that would fall to the ground. Lord, I ask that you would cleanse us and renew us. And we just submit to your lordship over our lives. Will you restore the years that the cankerworm and the moth have eaten? I ask that you'd restore back to everyone in this room and everyone in this community. Lord, as if it never happened, as if we've never gone dull, take us to where we would be because that's how you are. You're such a good father. Take us to where we would be. Catch us up, Lord, in the spirit. Literally, catch us up in the spirit, Lord. Lord, I ask for anybody who just needs the warmth of your presence and the confirmation that you're here. Lord, will you just release that to them? Would you release it to them? Lord, I ask for new vision for this community. Lord, that we would step into the vision that you have for us. You said, Lord, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Lord, in other translations, you say that it's about vision. I ask that you would restore vision, that none would perish. Everybody place your hands on your belly if you can. Lord, I declare that we believe in you as the scripture says, not as our minds say, not as we were taught, not as man has said, not as the world has said, but we believe in you as the scripture says. And so we declare that out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. And we loose and unstop those rivers of living water now. And we command those rivers to flow. Whoa, we command them to flow. Whoa. Tammy, I see the river starting to flow in you. I see it starting to get loosed in you. I see you starting to get a part of the rushing water again. You've been on the edge of the river for a while, and I see that you've stepped into that river, and that there's a spot of you where you went ankle deep for a while, and then you went knee deep, and then you were actually taken under for a little bit by Holy Spirit. But then I saw you getting back onto the edge of the water edge, and you stayed there for a while, and Holy Spirit sought after you today. He sought after you today, and he said, I want to plunge you back into the river of life. I want to plunge you back. I want to take you all the way down the river. Whoa. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Michael, Holy Spirit is after you. You are sought after by the Lord. And I know in the natural that the Lord's been going after you, but I know in the spirit the Lord has marked you. He's marked you as one who will not stop. He's marked you as a warrior, and he's marked you as a son. Whoa. I'm seeing you right now, Michael, and I'm seeing you pick up arrows, and I'm seeing you pull back the bow, and I'm watching you shoot arrows. Whoa. Whoa. Some of these arrows go into the enemy camp and plunder the enemy's camp, and others of these arrows go straight to the heart. Whoa. 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 So, Lord, I ask that you give his hands even more strength. I ask that you give him strength in the spirit. I ask, Lord, that you would take him to new heights. Lord, will you blow his mind? Literally, just blow his mind, Lord, with your goodness. Just blow his mind with your goodness. That nothing is impossible with God. Adam, I hear the Lord, and I don't think this is so stupid, but, you know, whatever. Who's Adam Ant? Is Adam Ant somebody? He's a cartoon character? Without his glasses, he's helpless? Okay, so I just keep hearing the word adamant, adamant, adamant. And so, Lord, I say new glasses, new vision for Adam. Lord, I ask that you take the vision that you've had for him and that you would, give him eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand. And take him into the depths and the breadths of who you are. Take him into that place, Lord, where he's like, whoa, what was that? Take him into that place, Lord, where you start to show him visions. You start to help him dream dreams. Lord, that you open up the door to his mind. You unlock this man. He's a vessel with a lid off. Unlock this man. Fill him up to overflowing. You know, the Bible says that there are some vessels for honor and some for dishonor. You're a vessel for honor. Amen. And so I just declare that over your life, Adam. You are a vessel for honor. And anybody who ever spoke differently was wrong. Amen. Amen. You are a vessel of honor. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would take us into your abiding presence. Lord, I don't want to just stay a life that visits you any longer. I want to be the life that abides in you forever. Because you abide in me. How dare I not honor your friendship? How dare I not spend all of the time that you want with you? My life is not my own. And I just declare, Lord, that you are the ruler of my life. You are the ruler of our lives, and we submit to you. We just loose you to be all that you are, Lord, that we would all be the best version of us that you created us to be, without hindrance. Amen.
Just reach out your hands toward Lisa and pray for her. Lord, for everything she poured out, we pray you pour back. For everything that she gave up today, we pray that you give her more, Lord. Thank you for her faithfulness. Thank you that it's not about perfection. It's about your spirit being free in us. So we were blessed today because you had free reign through her into our lives. Bless her, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a seat for just a sec. So sometimes when things happen, you would be foolish not to respond. I feel like this is one of those times. So don't worry. You can go home pretty quick. But as she was wrapping things up, and before Lisa started ministering, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to open this place up tonight for people to come and encounter me. It was an invitation by God. It's not a service. I'm not planning a service. I don't want to plan a service. I don't need to plan a service. But what he's saying is, I want you to open this place up for people to come and encounter me. Okay, so we'll open up at 6 tonight. With that specific purpose of coming and encountering God. Yeah. If you are somebody who lives and breathes hospitality, come preparing yourself to be hospitable. If you're somebody who serves, be prepared to come and serve. If you're somebody who teaches, be prepared to come and teach. If you're somebody who leads worship, come and be prepared to lead worship. I'm just saying, whatever it is that the Lord's given you, whatever he's blessed you with, come with all those things ready to give that to. Not to people, but to Jesus. Give to him. Jody?
I heard this, and I just wanted to, anyway, I heard the Lord say, I have areas of brokenness. Jeff has areas of brokenness in his life. We all have areas of brokenness. And I heard the Lord say, tell my people I do my best work in their brokenness. Nothing stops you from going close to Jesus. Take it and invite the Holy Spirit into those areas, because he does his best work in your brokenness.
Yeah. And it's an adventure. The brokenness is a place of adventure. It's not a place of whining and pity. It's a place of adventure. So we'll open the place up at 6 tonight. We'll come, and just the whole point is we're going to come and meet with him, engage with God, and we'll see what happens, okay? Bless you. Have a great afternoon, you guys. Thank you, Lisa, so much.